Battlefield legends are built on tales like the one we're about to hear. A small group of men, vastly outnumbered, defending sacred ground against an onslaught. These stories show up in literature or Hollywood. Sometimes they also happen in real life. NPR's Ari Shapiro reports from Iraq.
We're driving along the northernmost border of Iraq. You can see Syria on the horizon. Over the summer, this area was all controlled by ISIS, but now this is under the control of the Kurds once again. In Kurdistan today, every fighter knows the name Qasem Shesho. He has been fighting with the Kurdish Peshmerga forces since the 1970s. We meet him in a large hall where the walls are lined with couches, blankets, machine guns, and rocket launchers. Young men in camouflage come and kiss Shesho's hand. One fighter serves us sweet black tea in small glasses. Shesho asks if we'd like something stronger.
So you want a whiskey?
A whiskey. It's early in the day for a whiskey. These men are Yazidis, an ethnic and religious minority. And the hall we are sitting in is on the grounds of a sacred Yazidi temple called Sharfadin. To people in this religion, this 800-year-old shrine is one of the holiest places on earth. In the beginning of August, the self-described Islamic State, or ISIS, swept across this region, killing thousands. A handful of ill-equipped fighters decided they would rather die than see this temple fall. Qasem Shesho is their leader.
We were alone here. We were just 18 Peshmerga against ISIS.
In the beginning, Shesho says they had so little food and weapons that four men would share one round of flatbread each day.
Each time we had to shoot, we wanted to save the bullet because we wanted each one to kill a person.
Word eventually reached Kurdish leaders that the temple was standing, that fighters were defending it from ISIS. And so helicopters began to drop food and ammunition for the men. Shesho says the attacks were relentless. There were car bombs, rockets, snipers. One of his men fell.
There were times we had no hope, so we said, let us die fighting. That way, we won't have to see our temple fall.
Weeks turned into months, and still the temple stood. Kurdish reinforcements arrived, 200 men at first, then more. Four of Shesho's adult sons came from Germany to fight alongside their father. One of the sons takes us outside to see the evidence of the fight.
So there's a hole in the ground right here where mortars fell. Oh, it's still in the ground. You can see it there.
It's been bombed.
Katyusha rocket.
Yeah. Another one here didn't bomb it.
So these are mortars that have not yet exploded.
This story sounds difficult to believe, but Kurdish government spokespeople confirm that they dropped supplies to the men. And perhaps the best testament to what happened here is the temple itself. While ISIS smashed many other sacred buildings across Iraq and Syria, this temple still stands with barely any damage. The men lead us across a stone plaza to the 800-year-old shrine.
We have to take our shoes off before we enter the temple. It's made of this sort of pale yellow stone. As men walk in, they kiss the entrance.
Inside the first wall, there's a courtyard with a large tree, elevated graves, and birds singing. Then a central chamber holds a stone room lined with brightly colored cloths. A small pillar at the heart of the temple is where Yazidi worshippers bring their prayers, asking for God's help. During the siege, we came here every day and asked God to save us, says a fighter named Shamwa Edo. ISIS took this region in August, and it was finally liberated with the help of U.S.-led airstrikes 4 months later, in late December. I asked Shesho what it felt like when he realized the siege was over. We didn't celebrate, he says. We just cried. Ari Shapiro, NPR News, Northern Iraq.